September 6th. This is our fourth class at Mishlei. And we are just going to review one point that we once made about the difference between Mishlei ben David and Mishlei ben Sira is, of course, the way we read it. Right? The question of how we feel it has a prophetic voice. Right. This explains the Gemara, the Mishnah that says Hakorei Isfarim Chitzoniyim Eino Chelek L'Olam Haba. Right, and you're probably not supposed to own one either, but it doesn't mean you can't read it. The rabbis in the Talmud obviously read it, if the Apocrypha is what they mean by that. There's another opinion that says it's the New Testament that they mean. But even if that's what it means, there's evidence in the Talmud that the Tanoim read the New Testament. You know, if at all, to Damash or to Shivlam, but they read it. So what does HaKorei Bisforim Chitzoniyim Eino Chelek L'Olam Haba even mean? So it means that we've been saying this all along. Fine. Just one last point for Mamish 2-3 minutes is that if you would take all the places in the Talmud, and I made a page for you. Here is a page with all the places that the Talmud quotes Mishlei ben Sira. And most of them are collected in this Tosfos in Meseches Erevin and stuff Samachay, Divra Maschil Batzar. You know, the Talmud doesn't come with an index. When the Gemara says Shenemar, you expect that it's in this book called the Tanakh, right? But a bunch of times it's not. And Tosfos says, you know, it's much easier for you to quote me a pasuk now and say, Rabbi, where is this pasuk? I'll give it a try. But it's much harder for me to say, no, I'm quite sure that's not a pasuk in Tanakh. Right? You know what I'm saying? So Tosfos in a bunch of places in Shas says, I looked all over for this pasuk, I couldn't find it. It must be in Ben Sira. He must not have had a Ben Sira, because if he did, he would open it up and see, yes, it is in Ben Sira. You know what I'm saying here? Okay, this is the point I want to make in one more minute, is that when the Talmud does quote Ben Sira, and this is the most accurate version of Ben Sira that we have today, right? When it does, it is usually not in the exact form that appears in this book. You know what I'm saying? Now, to be sure, this happens how often? Psukim in Tanakh, it happens. It could be a printing error, right?
What do you mean by that?
Let's say the Talmud quotes a pasuk that teaches us a particular law, and there's a diuk in the pasuk, and when you open up the Tanakh, it says, but that's not what the pasuk says, it's not in the pasuk. What lima do you mean? Right? So if you remember, if you took me for intro, we did that Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos that mentions two such cases where they actually learn a limud from a yud that's not there in the pasuk. And Tosfos says, "Ashas shalom, cholik alforim shalom." Usually, you could just say it's a printing error. They copied the Talmud over by hands, and someone made a mistake. They wrote Rosh Hashanah, so they wrote the wrong word. That can happen. It happens in Sifrei Torah, with human hand, right? Doesn't mean it's the Torah's fault. It means the person that copied it down was at fault, right? But when we're trying to make a limud, or Yerushalmi asks a question, why does one pasuk say Shimshon ruled 20 years and another pasuk says Shimshon ruled 40 years, right? Lo hayavu l'nivu. There's no, and the Gemara gives an answer to that question as if though there is such a pasuk, right? And there is no pasuk like that. So Tosfos says, I find that difficult. If you recall, I mentioned at the time a sefer by Reuven Margolios. He's known as the Margolios Hayam. Reuven Margolios has a book called Hamikra Bahamasora, a bunch of Masoretic topics, and one of his chapters is to resolve this issue and numerous others. Because no less a personage than Rabbi Kiva Eger, you've heard of him? Great, the father-in-law of Chassam Sofer. Rabbi Kiva Eger wrote on the side of the Gemara little glosses called, it happens to be right on the page, called Mesoras Hashas, right? And on this Gemara, when the Gemara wants to make a limud of a missing yud that's not in the pasuk, and Tosfos points out, but it is in the pasuk in all of our texts, right? It is in the pasuk. So when Tosfos points that out, and then he adds this pasuk by Shimshon, the 20 and the 40. If you recall, if you took me for intro, I gave Reuven Margolios his answer for that. It was an editing mistake. Then Rabbi Kiva, you look at how big this is. It's the longest one in all of Shas. It goes down the side of the page. Look at this, all the way down, all this stuff. Other examples in the Talmud where you can't call it a printing error. Because if I make a drasha, why is it that when Moshe tosses down the luchos, right, when he sees the egel, why does the Tanakh spell that word by Yashvichem Miyodov without the yud, and I make a drasha out of it as if though the word is Miyodo, you get it? Without the yud, it looks like Miyodo. The Bible is not written with vocalization, right? And I make a drasha out of it that Moshe only wanted to throw down one of the luchos, the one that has 1 through 5, and he said, let me at least give them 6 through 10. And the Medrash makes a drasha out of it, and then I open up my Torah and I see, but the yud is there. It's not. It's a good drasha. Right? But if the yud was there and someone made such a drasha, that's what gets you onto this list. Got it? So Reuven Margolios, in his book, HaMikra Misora, treats all of these examples and shows brilliant ingenuity how to resolve all of them. Apparently, Rabbi Akiva didn't think he could, but Reuven Margolios works on it. Okay? That is... So that's what happens when you have like a misquote of something. It's either a printer's error, but when the drasha is based on it, right, then it's hard to call it a printer's error, because he's darshaning it. Someone made the error there, right? Here's just my point. I know I said I'd make it quickly. It's taking too long. Is that whenever the Talmud does quote Mishlei Ben Sira, which is an older source than whatever this is based on. This is based on a Ksav Yad that doesn't go back as far as the Talmud. We don't have anything that goes as far back as the Talmud. We don't even have a Tanakh that goes anywhere near that far. We don't have a Sefer Torah dated from the Talmud's time. You know what I'm saying? The oldest Sefer Torah we have is apparently known as Keter Aram Tzova, the Aleppo Codex, which is at best 1,100, 1,000, maybe 1,200 years old, and I'm being generous. Okay? This is not because we weren't careful with our Masorah. It's just that for many hundreds of years, the Jewish people were victims of book burnings. We didn't have the airtight, sealed glass cases and rooms that the Vatican had and the Muslims had to preserve works. Right? You know what I'm saying? So we don't have Tanakhs that go back that far, the physical Tanakh. Right? So anyway, whenever the Talmud quotes Mishlei Ben Sira, I couldn't even find one case where it's exactly the same as what appears in what's considered the most authoritative record of Mishlei Ben Sira. Which one is right? The Talmud's record of it or this? The Talmud is older. I'm not going to decide here. But what can account for the fact that 99.99% of the time when Chazal quote a pasuk, it's exactly as it appears, except for the 10 or 12 cases that appear here, right? And why is it that almost all the time when we quote Mishlei Ben Sira, it's wrong? What can account for this?
It's not canonized.
It's not canonized. It hasn't been guarded. It hasn't been watched. It hasn't been studied. It hasn't been, you know, we
Adarab, Mishlei Ben Sira became famous from being found in the Cairo Medusa.
Right. And it's became largely publicized after that. But we were well aware of it all along. It's in the Talmud, as I said. Okay, Adkan. So let's go into Mishlei. I asked you for a very simple assignment for today. To open up the first chapters of Mishlei, can you, with any degree of, not certainty, but with some intelligence, tell me what looks to you to be the end of the introduction? And I must confess is that I remember writing right here on the board that the three sections of Mishnah begin with Perek Aleph, and I mistakenly wrote Yud Aleph. It should be Yud and Chafei. These three prokim begin with a new introduction, as if though you're reading a new book. And they all begin with the words Mishlei Shlomo. Mishlei Shlomo. This one, the third one, begins Gam Eile Mishlei Shlomo. As if though there's this some new introductory element to that. Right? So, let's see what you
said. Well, for the first one, I had it for the first like seven Pesukim.
Okay. Okay, the Masorah may help you out here if you have a Koren Tanat. No, this is not a Koren. Oh, yeah, it has a Masorah.
Because it just seemed like it was a new, like you're saying, like, this is what the book is exactly for, and then it's saying, afterwards, like with
Pesachet,
it was like
Shema B'ni,
like listen
myself,
like that sounded like
it was now
like the start of
telling people
what was going to
happen. Do you feel that Shema
B'ni
sounds like
the
proverb?
It just seemed like there was a change in how the writing was from after Zion. Like that seemed like this, it's for this, and now it's like listen myself. Like
okay, let's say it this way. What is the purpose of the first seven Sukkim?
It's kind of the first time I thought was like an intro, like explaining what.
Explaining what? Explaining why? Explaining. Let's say. Let me get you started. Explaining why. Now, finish the sentence.
Explaining why. I guess the book was even, or like why.
Okay. Yeah. You know, explaining why this is an important companion for a successful life. Right. You with me? Nothing in the book says that you need to forswear all bodily enjoyments, but there's much in this book that talks about forestalling bodily enjoyments. You agree on that? And that can really dovetail with Koheles, which we're going to do a little today. All right? You see, I use a drasha because Rosh Hashanah is coming up. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we're going to read the Torah portion where Yishmael is banished from the home. Can you give me the one word the Torah gives? The Torah writes for what he did to be banished. Just one word. Just as Yishmael was doing one word, and Sarah looked at it and said, that can't be in my house. What's the one word? It doesn't say he was bringing bad company into the house. He went in the middle of the night to a whorehouse. He went to, he played, he was hanging out with a murderous gang. Man, he worshipped idols. Rashi says all these things, by the way. Based on this one word. No, come on. Mitzachek. Shmuel was mitzachek. And I can't have that in my house. Rashi, it's not Rashi's invention. Rashi sees it in the Medrash. Shows how this word in three different places in Tanakh refers to Avodah Zarah, Shvichus Damim, and Gilui Arayos.
Very creative.
Right? I get it. You want to build up Yishmael by, build up Yitzchak, but in contrast, by showing how bad and justifying what Sarah's doing. Right? Even Ramban, who is very, very upset in this perush for what Sarah did in Parshas Lech Lecha when she banished Hagar, the pregnant Hagar, here Ramban says nothing. Here is no, Sarah's justified. She gets the judge, not me. Over what she considers a bad influence on her son. Right? You with me? Yes, but
I don't know if it's too off topic, but how are you able to learn this from Mitzvah?
It is too off topic. Go look at the Rashi.
Okay.
It shows that the word Tzadik Ches Kuf is used to define all three of these. This one at the beginning of Shmuel Bet, when Yoav and Avner's forces are fighting. This one by the Egel, Avodah Zarah by the Egel, Shvichus Damim by Shmuel Bet, and Gilui Arayos in the Bereishis. Hashem has told us, right? It's by Yitzchak. Wait a second! What's the name of the person that he is supposed to be a bad influence on? Look what you're learning from the word mitzachek. So what? His name is Yitzchak. He's not a laugher. So what's the difference between mitzachek and Yitzchak? And this is really, if you get this, you're coming to the one of the purposes of what we have all these introductory phrases. But I want to know why you're so sure it ends with Pasuk Zion. Okay, what's the difference between these two? Grammatically.
One is future and the other is
correct. This is forestalling your tzchok. Oz yemalei tzchok pinu. Vatischak liyom acharon. We're not saying that. By the way, that's one of the last psukim in this book. Get it? Batischa from the Macaron, sound familiar with Asia's Kyle? I'm not telling you not supposed to have tzchok. I say put it off. Put off your do not give in to the immediate drive for pleasure. Think of all, so much of what we do as a practicing Jew. How much we have to do before we put food in our mouth. Everyone else just, I feel a pang of hunger, food's going right in. I don't care if it's kosher or not, was it shechted, am I fleishig, is there blood in it, is there... So many things we have to do. Now, in truth, a lot of that is taken care of. It's just looking for that little sign that says an OU on it, and then all that was done for you. You still have to check, is there milk in it, is there fleishig, is there... Right? Have tithes been taken? Right? Is it Shemitah? Is it Orla? Is it Bikurim? Wow. Is it Maaser Sheni? Is it Maaser Ani? My goodness gracious. I have to check so many things before I put food in my mouth. And then I have to make a bracha. Is today a fast day? I have to ask 150 questions before I pop food in my mouth. Right? Too many people get used to doing things just as soon as they want. Don't you see this? This is a Musar discussion. This is the first great book of Musar. Right? There's nothing I want more this moment than my wife, but I still am going to ask for Shaila, is this a need or not situation? Right? An amazing, amazing forestalling of pleasure that we're able to do. That's what we're taught from 3 years old. And you're having a tantrum, but you know that kashrus is not negotiable. Right? You're going to have a kid one day at 2 years old, 3 years old, who is going to have a tantrum from something he wants. The more you give in, the more the next tantrum is going to be harder to push off. It may be in public, in the store, and they're screaming in the aisle because they want that box of cereal. They saw it in the friend's house, they saw it on the TV, whatever it is, and they have to have it and not leaving this store without it. You can't say you can't have it because it's filled with sugar and it's filled with cholesterol and it's filled with all bad things you don't bring in the house. No, but if you tell the child that 3, 2 doesn't come into our house, it's not kosher. Trust me, the tantrum ends when he knows that this is not negotiable. Tantrum will continue as long as the child feels that I might still get what I want from this tantrum. Right? I want the ice cream. I'm screaming. I'm going to throw things off the table, and I'm going to throw the crystal off the dresser until I get my ice cream I want. Right? The parents probably, if the kid has gotten that far to do things like that, there's some bad parenting going on already. But if the parent says, you know what, every time they give in again, it gets harder and harder. It's going to be more and more of a longer tantrum the next time. But as long as the child knows, you can't have that ice cream you just had at Frankfurt a half hour ago. You know milchiks and fleishiks, right? We don't give in on milchiks and fleishiks. By the way, the easiest, the simplest thing that gets kids off the derech is when parents make that standard for the kid, and then the kid sees sometimes that the parents won't uphold that standard. And hypocrisy, kids can sniff out hypocrisy in the earliest ages. Right? Okay. So, you see the difference between the mitzachek, the one who's living for the moment, and the one who's willing to forestall for a later time. That's really one of the essences of this book. Right? Anybody else have a different cheshbon about where this ends? Yes?
On that whole note, I would think it ends on in Paragimel.
Okay, Paragimel is one of the great prakim of this entire sefer. Gimel is not only is a great parent for the sefer. I'll get to a point about maybe is that there is a Maimer Chazal that collects what is the most important pasuk in Tanakh, the pasuk that encapsulates the basic message we want to impart in our religion. Right? So different rabbis come forth with different elements. Right. Are you familiar with this medrash? Are you familiar with some of the psukim? In other words, I mean, I'm about to die. I want to say a pasuk. Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenu, Shema Chod. Isn't that one the one thing that we've brought to the world? The idea of if not monotheism, then some kind of ethical monotheism. There were monotheists before Abraham. The Egyptian dynasties were sometimes monotheistic before Abraham. They weren't moral, but they believed in one God. Okay. So Shema Yisrael, what else do you have?
Great job.
The Haftarecha Kamocha. Tzelem Elokim Baruch Adam. Right, we're godly. What else? What? These are essential, one pasuk that is essential to the core of Judaism. It's up there already. Another is V'asisa HaTov HaYashar. Do the right thing. Right? Kedoshim Tiyu. Right? Making this list is a very interesting pasuk. It's a message. Es HaKeves Echot Taseh BaBoker. Es HaKeves HaSheni Taseh Bein HaArbayim. Sound familiar? Why is that in this list? Carbon time. How would someone think an essential rule of Judaism is the carbon time?
Yes.
Continuity. Keep doing things that will assure that it can continue. That sounds like Socrates. Right? Don't do something whereby if everybody else did the same thing, we'd be real messed up. And show up, preferably on time. Be reliable. Okay, you see the mussar coming out of these things? Here's the point. Three or four, or even five more of them come out of Perek Gimel, if you stay for Mishlei. It's by no doubt the most concentrated place in Tanakh where I have Because can you help me with which Svarim these are in? Which Sefer is Shema Yisrael? Svarim. After Rechav Hamocha. Vayikra. Tzelem Elokim Baruch Adam. Yes, please. Bereishis. Yosis HaTov Yashar. Okay, that's in Svarim. Esachem Esachot HaSeh BaBoker. From Midbar. Actually, there's a pasuk like it in Shmos also. So let me give Shmos a little. Well, I don't have Bamidbar besides that. Maybe. That particular pasuk is in Bamidbar. Parshas Pinchas, Bilein it, Shchodesh. Okay, so far it's everything that's coming from the Torah, right? In all encompassing pesukim, Shmuel come from the Torah, or maybe from Mishlei, right? So want to open up Perek Gimel with me now, just to look at some of it. Notice how the Prokim are beginning. First parak, Shema, your where you say your introduction ends, Shema b'ni Musar Avicha. That's where you say the book really begins. Perak Beis, b'ni Tikach Amarav, Gimel, b'ni Torasi Al Tishkach. You with me? Perak Dal, Shemu b'nim Musar Av. Perak Hei, b'ni L'chochmasi Hakshiva. You see, anyone noticing a trend here? Perkvav, b'ni, imarav kele reyecha, tukat kele zar kapecha. Perk zayin, b'ni, shmor amarai, mitzvosait, tzvon itas. Perk ches is the first perek that does not begin with the word b'ni, but I blame it on the Christians. Anybody know what I mean by that? Christians messed up. But you have to be looking at a Koran Tanakh to know why. The Christians split up the Prokim. Except for Tzela, which has its natural beginnings. Its parak begins with a head. Right? You see where parak test begins by the Christian? So this particular, and most besides the Koran Tanakh, is not divided by Parshas. Right? Because we learned this in intro. Right? Here is where Parsha begins. Very good. By a Jewish design, when you have those openings. Right? When you have those openings, that's known as a Parsha Pesucha. You see the pay? Parsha Pesucha. We're looking now at Zion Chafetz. Zion Chafetz. But this book, conveniently, I put it together, goes at the problem of the Christians. There's nobody. You're not going to end a parak at Zion Chafetz. It just doesn't. People know it's not going to work.
Why should it start there?
because in the Masorah there is a paragraph ending there. There might be a pay in the pasuk Chof Chof. I'm sorry, Chof Gimel.
Yeah.
Zion Chof Gimel. Is there a pay in that text? Oh, see, this one has it. I guess whatever text we use for that didn't put it in. It should be. To let the reader know that there is a paragraph ending here. If the paragraph ends, if there's no paragraph, but it continues on the same line, that's going to be a samach. Start standing for, what does the samach stand for? Stuma. You get it? Stuma means it's closed. It's a new parsha, a new paragraph, but it's on the same line. We'll break for at least 9 letters, and then continues on the same line. When there's a total break to the end of the line, it's going to be a pay. Parsha Psura. It's open. That book has nothing. You can't tell anything from that text of what I'm saying here. But you see, if the Christians, there's a bishop in the Middle Ages who decided to start Perikles with Baruch Roman, the Jewish way of ending this parasha is right here. And look at the first pasuk. But
so why
didn't
you start
at
why
are we following the Christian way?
Go change it after all these years. And now I have a Tanakh at home that doesn't use the Prakim system outside of Tehillim. It's a Balagan. It's Balagan. Do me a favor. Mention a Navi and mention a number right now.
Yeshayahu.
Chet. So I'll tell you right now, I'll tell you what the whole parak is about. If you couldn't say Chet, how would I know what you want, what you're looking for? I mean, it's just, it was meant to assist Christians when they're arguing Tanakh with Jews, because the Christians knew that they didn't know Tanakh at that time as well as Jews, which is I don't know if that's the situation now, but Perkes is Yeshayahu trying to warn the king of Yehuda how to survive the Assyrian onslaught. If you know your Tanakh, you just say the prophet, say a number, and you'll find it quickly, and you'll know quickly. Right? So what? If you said, find me where Yeshayahu has to tell Achaz about the future, and there's Herod Zion's about that also, and what's going to happen with the Assyrians, etc. I'll just open this share. I won't find it. It's just it's easier, and we've embraced it. Okay, I'm just trying to tell you that. Test continues the trick. Okay. By the way, the same thing happens in Perek Tes. Your Tanakh will find it. But look at Ches. Look at Ches Lamed Aleph. Here he's going to find the pay out of it. Yeah. See the pay. What's the next pasuk? Atabonim Shimuli again.
So why is that the other one? Like, it's
even
if you started back here,
there's
still
enough,
like...
This
passage
should be
paraphrased.
This should have been the beginning of paraphrased.
Okay.
This Christian didn't read Mishlei carefully enough to recognize. And Tess should have also have begun a few psukim earlier. Look at Ches Lamed Bet. Right? If you're looking at a different Mishlei, you're going to find a pay right before the paraphrase. Right?
And you said
Yudos? That's it. Okay. This is where the Perek should be.
What about
the That's the new Mishlei. Don't you see what I'm getting at, guys?
It's
drastically different than what you said. The whole first 9 prokim is an introduction to this book. Okay.
I'm gonna change my answer.
Now, hold on. There's certainly Proverbs earlier, but the nature of chapter 10 is going to drastically change. You're going to have quick snippets
pasuk right away telling you this is what happens if you go to a zona. This is what happens if you fold your hands and you're lazy. There are pasukim like that earlier, but they are hope. There's a theme to practically the whole parak telling you why you should read the rest of the book. Right? And it's all about continuity. It's all about child rearing. It's all about perfecting of the individual. Can we just glance very quickly through Perek Gimel and find some of those essential psukim? Don't forget my Torah. My mitzvahs will protect your heart. Will guard your heart. They'll make you live a long life, and you'll have shalom and menuchas hanefesh, and you'll add years to your life. Do not turn away from truth and kindness. Wear it as a chain around your neck and carry it near your heart. The familiarity with you, which you have with this pasuk, should make this on our list. Where is this in our liturgy? Hopefully, you say this every day. What? It's mentioned. We say as a prayer. Right? Said, right? How do you say that afterwards? Right? Okay, so that's the first thing. The why is this such a crucial pasuk? Why would we take a pasuk out of Mishlei and put it into a daily liturgy? Because it is. I'm going to say this, but Midbar 1 is Shmos, because when Tzachin Sechel Tov. You see, be'enei Elokim ve'adam, because if someone thinks to say, I know I'm doing the right thing, he says, you know what? Don't assume that another person is going to judge you b'kafschus about what you're doing. Harchek min akior u min adom elo. Stay away from bad things and even things that resemble bad things. You hear what he's saying here? This pasuk says, make sure that you're good with God and with man. Don't say, God knows the judgment b'kafschus. He knows what's in my heart. Yeah, but the other person doesn't. We're always supposed to judge people favorably, but we cannot necessarily judge someone favorably if they're going to judge us favorably. So be careful what you're doing. You know what? There's a pasuk in Bamidbar almost like this. When Reuven and Gad ask for land on the Chutz La'aretz side of the Arden, Moshe tells them, make sure you keep everything you say. And he says, V'hiyisem nikiyim May Hashem umi Israel. Make sure that you are good in the eyes of God. You see how this is Mamash, a reiteration of the pasuk in Mishlei? This one is in Bamidbar. This one is Mishlei. Okay? You see how Umitzachim v'seif ha-tov v'ni alukim v'adam is a reiteration of what Moshe told B'nai Reuven and God. Make sure that what you do is good in the eyes of God, but also the people. Right? B'tach el Hashem b'chol yibecha v'al b'nasfat al tisha'ein. Wow. Rely on God. Don't have faith in God. Do not rest just on your own understanding and your own mind. He knows where that's going. He knows where that can go. Right? I think here's another pasuk. Vav is another one of those great pasukim. Behold, rachecha da'ehu, v'hu'i asher ochosecha. With whatever you do, this is all encompassing. Behold, rachecha, it's very all encompassing. Make sure that you know God while you're doing this. V'hu'i, not a pall over your head, but that you get used to. You're used to that you make it part of your routine. Al tichacham be'enecha, yirayis Hashem v'sur me'ra. Don't be so smart in your own eyes. Rifu'usti l'sharecha v'shikuli ratzmosecha. Right, these next psukim are you know, general psukim. You look at your resources. You respect God with your resources. Don't just respect your vacation that you're going to in a month with your resources. Respect God with your resources. Right. So I would say pasuk vav b'chol drachecha da'ehu, another such pasuk. Mishle Gimel has two so far. By the way, none of the other books out of the Torah have any of these psukim in this medrash, except this. Except Mishle Gimel. Right? All these things, these are important aphorisms. But I'm trying to tie it to you that it's still part of the book that's telling you, let me explain to you why it's so important to learn this book. Right? Okay, look at Tet Zayin. Orech Hamid Bimino, Bismola Osher V'Kavod. In other words, Osher V'Kavod. I spend all of Pirkei Avos telling me that Osher and Kavod are things I shouldn't be seeking. No, don't seek it. It'll come to you. These things are faster than you. If you run after it, you won't catch up to it. If you run away from it, it will catch up to you. Right? Here, I think, is another one of those psukim. Put both of them on. And you know what? There's a trend going on. When you get these essential psukim, they enter our liturgy. Why are we saying these psukim when we put back the Torah? Right? No doubt, Tehillim is one of the main books of Tanakh of our liturgies. We say all prokim all over the place. Shir Shal Yom, Tfilos, right? Okay, I think pasuk yitzayim drachel dachinom in eitz chayim hi. Right, also essential psukim. Okay, drachel and eitz chayim hi. Okay. I don't know if it's fair of me to say everything here is just introductory. There's certainly, it's filled with advice about not being lazy, about not just just inadvertently to allow yourself to be taken advantage even. Don't be a friar. Don't be a guarantor of a loan for someone who's not trustworthy himself. You may make a friend right away, but you're looking for trouble down the line. And it's, you know, all kinds of things like this that we said before. Right? Okay. All right, I'd just say that not only because you mentioned Paragimel, but I think it's still all part of this introductory point of why it's so important to read this book. And except for Ches and Tes, which I've resolved as the Christian mistake of where to start the Prakim, every parak in the first nine brings home this element that the first section, first book of Mishlei, if you will, is really an introductory point to say how important it is that you incorporate whatever else is out there. Now, parak Yud, as I said, begins with another introduction. It says, Mishlei Shlomo. But again, it starts with Ben Chacham Ismachav. Yeah, because I'm starting a new section of the book. Right? Starting a new section of the book, which is going to reiterate this point. This is not a book you start reading when you're 30 and you say, okay, this is going to help me. No, you have to incorporate these issues into young children. I've been saying the same thing over many years on the West Side, well before you guys were born, is that if you want to work on, if you think it's a singles crisis, you start with how you talk to your kids when they're 3, 4, 5 about what you're going to be doing when you start to think about starting your own family. I'm not telling you don't have to tell a 3-year-old how to date. No. Gemara says you have to teach a child how to swim, how to earn a living, how to study Torah, and how to get married. It doesn't start when they're 18. It starts when they're three and seeing how parents talk to one another. It starts when you teach them how to trust. Right? Don't argue in front of them. Don't talk with two different voices. Right? So this is the crucial point of Mishle, is that Musar starts when the child is 3 years old. Yeah, of course, their first grade teacher is going to tell them, say, please, thank you. All good parents are trying to teach their children to be courteous, right? How to pick up a phone, how to send a thank you card, right? But I submit to you, and this, I wish we had more time before Rosh Hashanah, is that Perek Yud and Yud Aleph, when it comes to the Tzaddik and the Rasha, is so assured of the different fates of the two of them, right? They're so sure that the Rasha always goes in the bad direction and the Tzaddik always goes in the good direction. Two whole prakim with this in mind. Right? Another book this person wrote seems to fly mamish in the face of what I just said, which is Koheles, of course. Right? In Koheles, he says things, what makes me so upset about life is that I see Tzaddikim who have the fate of what the Rasha should have, and the Rasha has the fate of what the Tzaddik should have. It's not like take down this parak, Yirmiyahu Yud Beis, where that prophet asks God, Madua Derech Rishaim Tzalecha. Right? Why do the wicked do so well? He didn't ask why do the righteous suffer so much, because maybe he's no gay of the Gemara. I'm among the righteous, and I'm not asking you why I suffer. I'm not Gabe Adaba. But I am asking you, why do you allow these wicked people to thrive? My focus, Rashi mentions two different opinions. Which wicked people he's talking about? Is he talking about Jews, or is he talking about Babylonians? It's really mashma from the pasuk, he's talking about Jews. Okay, so he's saying, why do you allow the wicked to do so well? So Koheles says, it's even worse. The wicked do so well, and the righteous suffer. So what point is there to be righteous? If you have a full Tanakh, please open up to the first Tzukim and Sefer Chabakkuk and trace. You don't have it? Listen carefully. Chabakkuk is not a Haftorah except on the second day of Shavuot, who's outside of Israel. So not too many people ever know what it's about. But the book begins with uncommon chutzpah. Listen carefully. Hamaso asher chozo Chabakkuk hanavi. Ad ona Hashem shivati velo tishma. How long do I have to cry out to you, God, that you're not listening? Ezaki lecha chamas velo toshim. I cry out about all the violence that we see before us, and you're not saving anybody. Lama tareini oved ba'amol tabit v'shod ba'amol tabit v'shod b'chamas l'negi b'hirivu madom yisab. Why do I have to look at all the violence and the destruction? Why do I have to look at all the sinning and the strife? And all I see is just contention. And I see nothing but further division amongst my people. Al kein tafuk Torah. That's why your Torah is weak. V'lo yitzei l'netzach mishpat. No one cares to seek justice. Ki rasha machtiras atzadik, because the rasha crowns the king. He hits him over the head and he wins. Al kein yitzei mishpat mi'ukol. What a way to begin a sefer. Who can have such chutzpah? Right? And yet, Mishle, Perek Yud and Yud Aleph, guys, so sure about that every time the Tzaddik defeats the Rasha. Is that really what Mishle is about? So we're gonna pursue this. It's Hashem, you're interrupting the class. Oh, sorry. It's 10 o'clock. I want to compare this. I want you to read this over. I don't think we're meeting now till Thursday? A week from today, right? After Rosh Hashanah.
They don't have school with Rosh Hashanah.
No?
You're out
really? Okay. All right. So then you have a whole month. Make sure I want you to read Tehillim Perek Lamed Zayin. Tehillim Lamed Zayin. It's a long parak. It's alphabetical, but it's Tzukim. Tehillim Lamed Zayin and Mishlei Yud Yud Aleph. Tehillim Lamed Zayin, Mishlei Yud Yud Aleph. Yirmiyahu Yud Bet, the beginning of Yirmiyahu Yud Bet. And the first few Pesukim of Habakkuk. Habakkuk Aleph, Aleph and Dalet. Tehillim Lamed Zayin. Mishlei Yud Yud Aleph. I'm not even bringing any Kohelis. That's the same author. Okay, got that? All right, guys. Have a great chag then. I'm not going to see you at all.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're
rich and peace.